I think I can beat you, Darren, when it comes to things that children have said to us on Father's Day this morning. When I opened my card from Katie, it listed all the qualities that she saw in me, and the first half dozen were absolutely wonderful. And then she finished off her little list at the very end with weirdo. And Claire had to gently say that you really don't put in cards some of the things you want to say that are nice but don't sound so nice. So thank you to my youngest. Happy Weirdos Day to you all. It's generally accepted that Father's Day began around 1909 in the United States of America, when a little girl sat in church during Mother's Day. She was raised along with five of her siblings by her father. And so on this day, she actually wanted to honour him. And so she originally chose a day that she could honour Father's, and that was his birthday, the 5th of June. But the church said, we don't have time to arrange it. And so they actually put it back a few weeks, and hence we now get the third Sunday often in June that we celebrate around the world in most places, Father's Day. In some Roman Catholic and Orthodox Church traditions, fathers are also celebrated on St. Joseph's Day, which takes place in the middle of March. And this is the feast day to celebrate Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus. And so in those Orthodox traditions, they will recognize fathers on that day. In the Bible, God actually exhorts us to honour our father and mother. And he considers it important enough to include it in the Ten Commandments. You will know it all from Exodus chapter 20. Honour thy father and thy mother. Whereas other biblical teachers such as Solomon, Jeremiah, Paul pick up similar themes in their writings. I've struggled to find anything where there's a reference to a specific day to be set aside to honour parents. According to the Bible, this was an ongoing thing. I can't find a reference to the Father's Day, even. The Father's Day, or God's Day. The nearest that I can come to that is Sabbath. Sabbath coming from the Hebrew word Shabbat, meaning to cease, and Sabbath meaning rest or ceasing from work. And we all know Sabbath. It remembers God's day of rest at the end of creation, starting from sundown on Friday through to the appearance of the third star on Saturday. Yet Jesus would go on to remind his followers, Sabbath was not God's day. It was man's day to recuperate. After Christ's death and resurrection, the new believers used to celebrate the Lord's Day instead. And that was a Sunday, because it marked the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so to find some kind of biblical precedent for a special day in which we can honour parents like this is very difficult. In truth, I'm not a great fan, if I'm being honest, of one-off days, whether it be Mother's Day, Father's Day, or any other one-off day. The challenge for me is, how can I make every day the Father's Day? How can I make every day the Father's Day? Well, I think we need to start by looking at our relationship, the relationship that we have with God. We use phrases like our Father, but the Old Testament rarely speaks of God in terms of our Father. Often he's referred in the Old Testament as the God of our fathers, but very rare does he get a mention as our Father. What do we know about God the Father? Well, we know he was present at creation. Genesis quite clearly reminds us, and if you needed a reminder, here's the verse from Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God is Father. Psalm 139, the psalmist personalizes this. He personalizes God's creative, formative role for each of us when he declares, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So not only is God the creator of the original human being, he's personal. He's our creator as well. In one of the few references in the Old Testament to use the phrase "our Father," Isaiah speaks of God having influence, like an earthly parent would. God having influence, having the kind of paternal role in shaping our lives. "Yet you, Lord, are our Father," says Isaiah. "We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hand." So from the Old Testament, when we turn to the New Testament, we see clear evidence further of the fatherhood of God, especially in the birth and the baptism of Jesus. In Gethsemane, in adult life, Jesus takes us to a very different level of understanding regarding the relationship that he would enjoy with God the Father through the use of the word Abba. Abba. Mark chapter 14 tells us this: "Going a little farther, he fell to the ground here in Gethsemane and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him." And he says this: "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." The biblical commentator Joachim Jeremias says this. He remarks about this in his commentary: "Abba was an everyday word, a homely family word, a secular word, the tender address of a child to its father, dear father, daddy." And then he says this interesting thing: "No Jew would have dared to address God in this manner. Jesus did it always." We're introduced to a totally new relationship here that we can have. Matthew begins to make God's father qualities personal for each of us. He reports Jesus constantly saying, "Your heavenly Father." The heavenly Father that is his is also ours. And in the Lord's Prayer that we know in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus encourages us to begin it by saying, "Our." Claim personal ownership of the Father, our Father. Romans 8 that we shared earlier on, there's so much theology in that first part, but I just wanted to pick it for that one line, because I think Paul takes the words that we read there in Mark and he really brings it to a new dimension for us. Abba had been previously used intimately by Jesus, and only Jesus. As the commentator says, no Jew would have dared to use that word. And yet in his letter to the Romans, Paul actually states, this is a level of relationship we can all enjoy. Not just Jesus. We can all enjoy this relationship. "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, we, Abba, Father." This intimate relationship Jesus had with the Father, we can have as well. I've quickly raced through scripture there, and I've not done it justice in any way to consider the relationship that God has with us, to show that the Father of God, the fatherhood of God is evident. But that the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba. God is our Father. So if that's the relationship, how can we make every day the Father's Day? Well, we make every day the Father's Day by acknowledging the relationship God allows us to have with him, and by bringing honour and glory to that relationship. You see, glorifying and honouring God is at the heart of the Christian life. That's who we are. David Van Dunderen suggests three ways in which we can glorify God and so make every day the Father's Day. And this is the first one. He says we glorify God through our faith. I used to have a sergeant major at my home corps, lady sergeant major, but her first question every day that you walked into the corps was, how's your faith today? That was her first question. Not good morning, not how are you, how's your faith today? We glorify God through our faith. In his message to the Romans, Paul reflects on the life of Abraham a few chapters earlier in chapter 4. He reflects on the fact that Abraham was told he would father a nation, that Abraham was really old, that Sarah was unable to have children. And yet we read these words, Abraham, according to Paul, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God by being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he's promised he will do for you? Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he'd promised. And to give God glory is to see God to be what he is, to rely upon his power and his faithfulness. And to honour God means to not only respect him for what he does for us, but to love him for who he is. Who is he to you today? Do you love him for who he is to you today? We glorify God through our faith. But secondly, we make every day the Father's Day by glorifying him through our worship. Van Dundren helpfully comments this, and he says these words in his book. There is one activity that Scripture associates far more than any other with glorifying God, and that is worship. At its heart, worship ascribes all glory to God alone. We can glorify God in many ways, but Scripture indicates that nothing we do delights God more than calling on his name with sincere hearts and declaring that all glory belongs to him. He goes on. Sometimes people speak of all of life as worship, such that going to work is worship, playing basketball is worship, practicing the piano is worship. It is indeed proper to honour God in all of our endeavours. But, and this is an important point, worship is a distinct activity in which we set aside other tasks and set our minds and hearts fully on the Lord in order to receive his word and to respond back to him with prayer and song. How's your setting aside all other things? How's your setting aside of all other things in order to worship him? Finally, we make every day the Father's Day by glorifying him in everything that we do. 1 Peter chapter 4 reminds us this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to receive to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. We glorify him by giving all that we are, every strength, every talent, every gift to him. Everything that we do glorifies God. Oh, that it did. And I speak that from my own experience. Oh, that it did. I quite enjoy reading John Piper's theology and some of his books. He's an American preacher, teacher, church leader. And one thing he did, he wrote an article that I read, and he said, how to drink orange juice to the glory of God. Have you ever thought about drinking orange juice to the glory of God? Let me explain. He was actually really saying that the simplest of things, everyday things, we do, we bring glory to. So first of all, at his breakfast table in the morning, he grabs the glass of orange. He looks at the glass of orange. If he's made it himself, he looks at the oranges on the side. And the first thing he does is recognize that that glass of orange is a gift of God. The sun and the rain that grew the oranges is a gift of God. The haulage company that delivered it to the supermarket, the grocery train that brought it to his table is a gift of God. The list goes on. So the very first thing he does, he says that this is a gift and I glorify God through it. But the second thing he does, he says, when I drink my orange juice, I remind myself, actually, I don't deserve this. I've got this beautiful provision this morning, but I don't deserve it. When I think of actually all the things I do deserve, wow. And so this morning, I will glorify God at my breakfast table by giving thanks that my sins are forgiven, that this pleasure that I have is a gift from God today, because it's not what I deserve. If I got what I do deserve, it certainly wouldn't be the goodness of God. And then he says, when I take this juice, I think, this isn't just for me. I need to share this. I need to share it with others. I'm not going to hoard every good gift that God has given me. Therefore, I will glorify God today by sharing all the things I have. And finally he says, I remind myself as I look at this simple glass that this is going to give me strength to live for the glory of God today. And so through the glorifying of a glass of orange juice, it just reminds him that all the things he will do will glorify God. It's a simple illustration. Now, chances are you might not drink orange juice today. But I wonder if everything that you do today, you just pause for a few moments to think of how it's come to you, what it means for you, how it's going to bring glory to God. The instruments you've got on your knees, where have they come from? The talent you have that has been given, where does it come from? What you contribute together, doesn't it glorify God? That's just an instrument. The coffee pot that will roll in from the back of the hall at the end of the meeting. Can you see all things in life, if we pause for a moment, can give God glory if we allow that to happen? We glorify God through our faith. We glorify God through our worship. We glorify God in everything we do, or we can. Will you do it today? Friends, we can make every day the Father's Day by glorifying him through our faith, by glorifying him through our worship, and by giving him the glory through every single act that we engage in. I honour him today by doing what he asks of me. And by honouring him, I make every day the Father's Day. Today's Father's Day. Today's the Father's Day. But I've got news for you, so is tomorrow. And the day after. And the day after. And the day after that, and so on. Will you make every day the Father's Day? And will you glorify and honour him through all that you are, your faith, your worship, and your actions? May it be so. Today we come into the presence of God the Father. The glory of the Father is in this place. And I just want us to take a few moments on this Father's Day just to reflect on how we're going to glorify God, how we're going to make every day the Father's Day. He said, didn't he, earlier, that we should take time to set aside, to ponder the things of God, to worship and set our hearts and minds fully on him. Well, let's do that in our meeting before we go home or before we have our cup of coffee and whatever. Let's put some aside. How will you glorify God today? How do you relate to God as the Father? For you, is he Abba? Is he, do you experience that intimate relationship with him? Well, you can. We can all do that. So let's just come and be still. I know the glory of the Father in this place. We're going to sing a well-known song that we all know that just simply says, be still, for the presence of the Lord, the God the Father, the Holy One, is in this place. How do we relate to him? How will we glorify him? How will we honour him today? Ponder it for a moment. And as we sing, let's just give him his rightful place and acknowledge God the Father for who he is. Sing with me. And as we sing together, let's just experience God. And if it would help you, I know there's chocolate bars on the mercy seat, but it might just help you today to just come and kneel before God the Father. To just reaffirm that wonderful relationship you have with him, to be able to call him Abba. And to just reaffirm that every day you want to make it the Father's Day by glorifying him and honouring him. Well, come, do it. If that helps you, then do it. So sing with me as we take a few moments before we sing a boisterous song to finish with. But let's just come to Abba Father and know him as ours today. Thank you. God, we come to you on this Father's Day. It's an earthly celebration, but it's also a reminder that every day is the Father's Day, your day, the day that we can come aside to know you intimately, to know you in such a way that we can dare to call you Abba, to have such a special relationship with you that we can be sons and daughters, children of God. And so, Lord, today, we just want to say how grateful we are that you are God the Father, our Father. We are so grateful that you've allowed yourself, that you've come to reach into our world, to want to know us in such a beautiful way. And so, Lord, we just ask that you will help us every day to bring you glory and honour, to make every day the Father's Day. Lord, we pray that you'll help us glorify you through our faith. We know of your greatness, we know of your power, your strength, and we do believe that there's no work too hard for you. Lord, give us faith to see that you are who you are and that you deliver on all the promises that you make. Lord, may we glorify you through our worship. And that means intentionally setting aside some time each day to just enjoy your presence, to just reflect, to allow you to speak to us, to reach into our lives, to bring about that cleansing and healing, to bring about that wholeness. Lord, we thank you that we can give you praise, that we can declare how awesome you are and just know the great joy that is ours in knowing you as God. And Lord, we pray that we will glorify you in everything that we do. We've been reminded that a simple drink, a beverage, can be used to remind us to glorify you. Well, when we think of all the actions we do every day, perhaps we should pause a lot more often to think how we are using them to bring honour to your name. May we, in everything that we do, seek to praise you and bring you glory. So, Lord, make every day the Father's Day in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.